talking with Phil Sang of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Phil, as you start this strategic planning conference for your organization, your folks that are coming in from really around the world, why this particular meeting? Give us a little bit of overview of what the purpose of this meeting is.
Well, this meeting actually, as you know, we derive a lot of our funding both from the government but also from the industry. Beef check off, pork check off, you take a look at corn, soybeans, they all check off and contribute significantly to the USMEF. And this is the first attempt for us to sit down with the wider industry and discuss our strategies, what we see in the markets, and lay this out before them so we collectively can work together to establish a plan going forward. And as we know, these markets are constantly changing. There's access. Sometimes there's not access. And so looking at the current situation and trying to make a plan, that's really what this is all about.
When you think about 2013, there was a little bit of trepidation given the shortage of supplies of U.S. beef especially, and just the incredible year ahead in 2012 of how 2013 would perform. But overall, it's been quite a year, hasn't it?
It's been a very good year. I mean, on the beef complex, we're up 10% in value. We're doing this with the absence of a product going to Russia. The Russians closed their market on February 11th. We've been able to, I guess the highlight you'd have to say for the year would be the opening of the Japanese market, where it opened further from 20 months to 30 months, which made, instead of about 25% of our cattle eligible, about 95% of our cattle eligible for the Japanese market. And Japan has performed very well in that regard. I think one of the concerns that we have, of course, would be the Chinese market. It's just increased by 800% this year alone. It's the fastest growing beef import market in the world. They can't source the cattle. They don't have enough cattle in China to keep up with the demand. And so we see that market continuing to grow as their economy continues to grow and there's more urbanization, et cetera. So that's a market that we desperately need to get into next year.
You talked a little bit on the conference call regarding the Russian situation and our government working with their government. I think your comment was glacial progress. It's slow, obviously.
It is slow. I mean, with Russia, it always is difficult. It's difficult to really understand what you have to do in order to satisfy their concerns, because many times their concerns aren't that apparent to you in the first place. But we did put forward a program to the Russians. The Russians have looked at it. They've had some questions. Normally, they like to come and take a look at plants before they open up. We don't know if that'll be the case or not for sure in this regard. But they did indicate that they would be coming to the United States in February. So we see that as positive. But of course, we'd like to see them coming sooner than that. But again, that's why I say it's glacial.
You also reacted, gave your thoughts regarding what the Canadian leadership has said regarding country of origin labeling.
Well, this is very concerning to us, because over 45% of our beef and pork exports from the United States, we're talking $12 billion in total is what we export, so roughly about $6 billion is at risk here. And those markets have been performing very well. They're very consistent markets for us. They're not undulating markets where you're up one year and down the next. So the Canadian market, the Mexican market are very critical to our whole beef and pork export portfolio. So we need to do whatever we can do to avoid having that catastrophe occur.
And you were indicating that we need to pay heed to what the Canadian, what Prime Minister was saying.
We do need to pay heed to it. And this is something that can be rectified in the Farm Bill. I know our legislators are looking at this. They're aware of this. And, of course, in that Farm Bill is the trade title. And, of course, that's where we're concerned about the MAP program and the FMD program. These are the programs that allow us to work in these markets. It's half our funding comes from the United States government. And so we work on these access issues as well as these marketing issues to position our products in those markets to be as successful as we possibly can be.
I thought your comment really that goes back to the farm, the rancher, the hog farmer, the value per head is so incredible. Just an incredible story.
Well, I think all producers now in this country are looking for some good news, and I think with the fact that you got about $253 a head from cattle that are presented for slaughter, that's what the export dividend is on the cattle side, and then $52 on a hog side. Both those numbers are up dramatically this year. Cattle are up over $45 the value of that. So really, that's the locomotive that's really pulling this industry along. So it's very important to us, that export market, and it's going to grow.
What do you do for an encore in 2014?
Well, I think 2014 is, we're looking, of course, I think a bright spot would be getting back into the Russian market, but probably the biggest plum would be if we can get into the Chinese market because, we know the market, our people have worked in that market. We have offices in three different cities in that market covering the entire area of China. So we're ready, primed, and loaded to deal in that Chinese market. But if we can get China and Russia back, then what's going on with Japan, which is going to continue to increase next year, and especially with the TPP, that's also very encouraging down the horizon. The Korean market, we're going to see picking up in the fourth quarter, and then it's going to be stronger going through the next year because they had a huge amount of production that they're eating through, basically. So as we take a look at this, I think it looks very promising for us. Again, the Middle East is growing. Central and South America are growing for us. So all these different regions are working very well for us, and we have new markets like in Africa and places that we're looking at. And so we see progress in South Africa and Angola. There's different areas. So all told, I think the export market still is performing well, and it's the future for the industry.
One last question. Mr. Brooks indicated that sub-Saharan Africa has got potential. And I know that some years ago when we had a conversation, you really were saying that you simply were not putting resources where people were not able to buy meat, didn't have the resources to buy meat. That's changing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is changing. And what we're seeing is that, all these economies are growing, and the developing world, if you will, has been growing faster. Obviously, they're not having the sclerosis that we're having in the advanced world or the northern hemisphere with the United States and Europe, where we've had some problems, especially in Europe. So we're monitoring this all the time, and as these growth levels are occurring and increasing, people are moving from the cereals to the proteins, and we're seeing that opportunity. Again, remind you that our beef is quite expensive compared to a lot of our competition, but still there are certain cuts that we don't value here, especially like a lot of the variety meats and some of these things. For example, in Egypt, we export well over 100 metric tons of livers. So there are niche markets for us where we can work and really make a difference as far as the bottom line to the producer in the United States.